We are happy to be chatting today with folks from South Shore Elder Services of Braintree to give you a little information about the services they provide despite the pandemic that is going on and ways that you can access them in the days and weeks and hopefully months ahead. So we're welcoming to the program today Alex Colbert. Alex is going to speak about the SHINE options in the Family Caregiver Program. Also, Donna Shakrala is here. Donna's the Information Outreach and Referral Director for South Shore Elder Services. Bridget Campbell, the Volunteer Coordinator. And Jody Hodgson, who is the Money Management Coordinator at South Shore Elder Services. So, ladies, we'll have you all in unison now. Give us a quick welcome and say hello.
Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning, Joe.
There we go. We're doing our Brady Bunch view here. Now we'll switch back to Donna. I thought we should start off with you, Donna Shakrala, Information Outreach and Referral Director. Chat a little bit about services that South Shore Elder Services provides, what it is that you do there, and how folks can get a hold of you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Joe. What I'd like to do first before I step into that is just give me a quick overview of who South Shore Elder Services is and what we do. We're located in Braintree, and we provide community-based services for folks in Quincy and around the region. And I oversee the intake department. The intake department is the gateway to all of the services that we provide, such as home-delivered meals, homemaking, chores, and the way to reach us is to call or www.southshoreelders.org. And we're happy to get your call. And when you speak to the receptionist, you'll be transferred to our department. And we'll talk a little bit about what are your needs, what are the services, what brought you to call us. And then we begin a conversation with you about what's going on.
So before we talk about that's a good phone number to call.
Oh, thank you. 781-848-3910 is the main number. And then you can ask for the intake, outreach, and referral department, and you'll get transferred to us, or you can just simply state what's happening with you, and then you'll be transferred to our department.
Okay, and do you kind of do like an assessment right there on the spot as to whether or not folks qualify for your services?
Well, there's a number of things that happen, Joe. We have something called No Wrong Door. So I'm going to briefly talk about that, because anyone can call us for information, for an information packet for them to talk about services that we do provide. They can talk with their family. And that's any age a caregiver can call. So we send off the packet. But if you are interested in services with us, the caller comes into our department, speaks with our intake specialist, and the specialist does explain our services in a discussion that makes sense with your need. And then together you put together sort of a service plan. For example, if you need home delivered meals, and let's say you have difficulty lifting, carrying, we may talk about some meal preparation. We may talk about groceries. And then we put together a care plan that fits your need with the goal of keeping you in your home safely, in your community, near your neighbors, and in an area that you love, you're familiar with. And again, with a care plan, a service plan that you help to design.
And are there income guidelines, Donna, that folks have to meet in order to receive services?
That's a great question. Okay, that really is a great question. If you have, there's different things that apply to different programs. Some of our programs, and Alex will discuss further, there's no cost.
Okay.
Then there are services, depending on your insurance, and we will go through that with you, where you can receive services for nothing. We are federally and state supported. So if you do, if you do not have MassHealth, we do have an income-based. So we do ask you, but please remember that we do buy a lot of units of service. Our services are subsidized, and we do work with you to see what you can do, what you can pay for, based on your need.
Sliding scale type of setup.
Yeah, it is a percentage of your income.
Okay, right.
Yeah, for all income,
okay.
Even a high income.
Yep, sure.
So to speak.
Well, some people are, house rich, cash poor type of situation too. Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. It's a great example.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kinds of services during the pandemic are you finding that folks are needing most?
Home delivered meals, laundry. Hmm. So if folks weren't able to carry, here we have that situation where people cannot carry heavy things. So we've worked with getting laundry sent out. And instead of dropping off meals every day, we've done multiple meal packs. South Shore Elder Services has remained fully operational throughout the pandemic. And questions are coming in now with caregivers that are going back to work. I've been taking care of my mom. We need additional hours. So now we're working with that type of situation with the families.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
As their needs change.
Yeah. Have you seen, has it been an increase, a decrease, about steady as it normally is for services requested?
Absolutely an increase with home delivered meals.
Sure.
Completely. Absolutely. Because people, rightly so, were not comfortable and still remain uncomfortable going to the grocery store. You know, we do work with people that are older. Their health is compromised. Mm-hmm. And that is, of course, the first place, making sure they're not at nutritional risk. You know, so we have elderly, we have disabled. And making sure they're okay, they have enough food, and again, there is no nutritional risk.
Sure, and now that we're seeing, the cases unfortunately go up again, I'm sure it's increased demand for that as well.
Yeah.
What's your kind of service area, Donna?
What's
your elder services? Where do you provide services?
We provide services in 11 cities and towns. So we've got Quincy, Braintree, Cohasset, Hingham, Holbrook, Randolph, Hull, Milton, Norwell, and Scituate. I think I said everybody. Weymouth. I said Milton and Weymouth.
But I know if folks call and they're not in your service area, you're able to guide them to another agency that, correct?
One of two things happen. Like I said, it can be no wrong door. And we might do, depending on the person, we will ask them, would you like us to do the referral for you?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we'll just take the referral. And because sometimes navigating can be difficult. So we'll take the referral and we'll call the agency, we'll get their permission, and then the agency will call and follow up.
Okay.
And they may say, no, you know what, let me do it. And then they'll do it themselves.
Yeah. And is there a limit to the amount of services someone can receive or the length of time they can receive them?
Not length of time. And it all depends on what's going on. I don't want to say there's a limit, but very often people will talk about who's coming into my home. That's a big adjustment. Opening up your home to people that are first asking for help realizing that someone's coming in to help them, and then getting adjusted to that and accepting of that. And that's more where we work with the home care department and the case managers to introduce the services and begin that that relationship.
Okay. Seems like a good chance here to bring, maybe we should bring Bridget in right now, actually, as the volunteer coordinator and speak about some of these services that you've been talking about. Specifically, it sounds like Meals on Wheels, maybe the Friendly Visitors Ombudsman Program. So, Bridget Campbell, thanks for joining us, and nice to meet you.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Joe. I'd love to talk about the Meals on Wheels program right from where John is leaving off on it. There has been an unbelievable increase in delivery and meals. We have 14 meal sites that are all in all those towns Donna talked about. We have two in Quincy, one on Martinson Street and one in Housenack. And it's been a very high increase. Due to COVID, we've been, for the virus and everything like that, we've been very careful. We've been leaving the meals on the door or the doorway and stepping back, because one of the things for the Meals on Wheels program is a safety check as well to make sure that the consumer is doing okay. Sure. So we've been doing that. We've seen, like I said, an unbelievable increase. Every single meal site has masks, gloves, and hand sanitizers. So anybody that wants to volunteer is more, we're very careful and we don't want to get anybody sick or anything like that. But we're just so thankful, because without the volunteers, we just really would not be able to deliver. And with such a high increase in everything, that we just, we are in need of, we are in need of people to help us.
Sure. And probably going to continue now as the weather turns colder too.
Exactly. Exactly. And like Donna said, they're very fearful of going to the supermarket. They know that a meal is going to show up every single day. On the weekends, we have weekend meals too. They're delivered on Fridays so that the consumer has meals in their house.
So who can, a couple of things, who can be a volunteer and who can receive Meals on Wheels?
Anybody can volunteer. You have to be 18 years old. You can be younger than that, but as long as you're with a parent, you're more than happy to be able to volunteer. A lot of people have been doing it, volunteering, just to get out of the house for a student, you know, so to get to just go out and see other people sometimes, for a mother and a son or a mother and daughter, anybody. I'm sorry, what was the second question? I apologize.
Who can receive Meals on Wheels?
You know, Donna, could I let you answer that one?
Do you want me to, you want me to take that?
Yes, please.
Okay. Normally, it would be someone who is unable to drive. Mm-hmm. They can't get to the store. They have some difficulty for standing for extended periods of time. COVID has changed that. Yes. People that are at risk for a number of reasons do call us. And so right now it's anyone that is at risk. And when we talk with them, we say, what's your diagnosis? Do you mm-hmm. drive? And if folks are not going out, families are not going out, and caregivers that previously had brought food over are also not going over as they're different. Their relationships are different. Mm-hmm. So yes, the numbers, as Bridget said, are going up. They will continue now, and we will continue to service and provide the meals so people remain safe.
Sure. Yeah, it's a critical service. Mm-hmm. Bridget, I'm sure, and I know typically the Friendly Visitor Program is one that folks look mm-hmm. forward to, both the visitors and the folks who have visitors, but
right.
I'm sure COVID has changed all that. What is
yep. COVID has changed that as well. What we've been doing for the Friendly Visitor Program is we're making phone calls.
Okay.
Instead of going face-to-face and
friendly virtual
people.
Visits, right?
Like it this. Is. And, we've been doing the calls, and believe it or not, they're very happy to get it. Sometimes it's the only person that they're able to speak to that once a week. Yeah, it's sad that we can't see them right at the moment, but a call sometimes is just, you know, if the caller or the friendly visitor doesn't feel like they that something's not right or something like that, they can give us a call and call the case manager and say, could, you know, I think they might need something, or sometimes that's the only person that they have spoken to. So, yeah, I'm very sad about that program because it was virtually, you can't see the person. So, yeah, and a lot don't have like the communication skills like we have here of being able to talk virtually on a computer or something like that, that so you can see them.
Yeah, so we take it for granted, but you're right. A lot of folks don't have that access.
Mm-hmm. It's certainly true. So that's where it's at the moment. And until that changes, it will be a phone call a week. Right. So if you feel someone needs a phone call a week or something, please call us. We'd be more than happy to set you up with a volunteer.
Okay. Again, 781-848-3910, right? The main phone.
Correct. Yep. And Donna's department will be more than happy to be able to get that information to me.
Okay. I should ask you too, Bridget, about the ombudsman program. I'm semi-familiar with it in nursing homes, assisted care centers. Critical role right now.
Exactly. So what they've been doing is they've had iPads donated to the nursing homes. So that was another way of during the pandemic at the beginning so that the consumer could see their families and be able to talk to them and teach them how to use the.
Oh, okay.
So what the ombudsman program has been doing is visiting them virtually.
Okay.
By the iPads. If somebody needs to talk to them, they can still call and be able to speak to somebody during the main number, just 781-848-3910, and ask for the ombudsman, and they'd be more than happy to give you a call or anything like that. We're there to advocate for them.
Yeah, it's critical to have an outside, mm-hmm. independent voice, you know, to speak.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Checking on them, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So anybody that's in that nursing home feels that or anything like that, we're doing the best that we can virtually as well as speaking to them on the phone.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Some other programs I know are SHINE Options and Family Caregiver. That's where Alex Colbert comes in. Mm-hmm. Alex, nice to meet you virtually.
Absolutely, and same mm-hmm. to you, Joe.
Thank you.
I hope it's okay. I would like to start with the Options Counseling Program.
Of course.
A lot of these programs are for someone who knows exactly what they're looking for. They can come right through our main door and, of course, get access to all these programs. But we do have folks who call in who sometimes might not know exactly what they need or even sometimes what they're calling for, just that there is a need. And those folks we can work with through our options counseling program. So again, just want to reiterate that this is a free service, as actually all the services I'll discuss are free. It's open to adults that are 60 years and older, and then to adults of any age with a disability, along with their family and their caregivers. The focus of the options counseling program is to really help people remain at home in the community if possible, or to help them with a long-term care plan if that is not possible. We work to connect folks to resources in the community. Many of those resources are our in-house services, such as the Meals on Wheels program, the state home care program, things like that. We really provide them, again, with just their options. We lay them out for the folks, and then they can pick what would be best for them. It is individually tailored, of course, so that they can really pick from what they need.
Very good. It's just what the name says, right? It's providing you which options are available to you.
It is. It's exactly what the name says, precisely.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, very good.
Great. I think the next program that, if it's okay, I would love to go into the Family Caregiver Program because we've spoken a lot about our consumers and the folks that we serve, but a lot of these people are, you know, have caregivers that are in the home, family, that have taken on a lot of extra responsibilities during the pandemic.
Yes.
Lots and lots of extra responsibilities.
Especially with their young children too, they're taking care of at the same time. Yeah.
Correct. Exactly. So caring for elders and then, you know, children as well. So they've got lots of different roles happening. And again, this service is free of charge, no income guidelines for this program. We work with an abundance of caregivers. So you don't have to necessarily be a full-time caregiver. You can be part-time, you can be long distance, whatever and whatever you consider yourself to be as a caregiver, we like to work with folks. So everyone is assigned a caregiver specialist who helps to work with them on an individualized care plan that is really specifically tailored towards the need of the caregiver. So whatever their needs and resources are, we meet them where they're at. We work to develop some self-care that they can use. Again, very critical right now. Caregiver burnout is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And just overall working to decrease isolation, because as a caregiver, it can be very isolating. Again, and especially right now during the pandemic. Yeah. And for both options counseling and family caregiver, we have been doing lots of telephone assessments. We do mailings to folks, but we've really increased our telephone conversations. Caregivers do need a lot of extra support right now, and sometimes just a friendly call to check in is enough and is all that they really need.
So. Yeah, I'm sure. You can really feel all alone when you're in that role sometimes. Just to know that there is help for you, to take care of yourself so you can take care of your family member is crucial, I'm sure.
Correct. You say it better than I do.
I've lived it, so I understand it. Yeah, and I don't think, unless you've been in someone's shoes, you know exactly what it feels like.
Exactly. Yes, you're right.
So the SHINE program, I know, is typically an in-person program, Alex. Get that right now.
Yes, it is typically an in-person program. so it is another one that is functioning via phone, virtual, as the world is that we live in. So the SHINE program stands for Serving the Health Insurance Needs of Everyone. It's really focused towards those who are eligible or who already have Medicare or Medicaid, but it is also open again to their caregivers who are just seeking some health insurance options. We are in the open enrollment period right now.
Right. Yeah.
Yes, as many people know. So we really help people to sit down and review their health insurance options. They are still getting a one-on-one phone call, though, with a SHINE counselor. So they are still getting all their options laid out. That is definitely not changed. The thing I like to advocate for this program is that it fills up very quickly. So we do ask if folks can to try to call at least a month in advance so we can get you set up. Yes, it fills up very, very quickly.
Okay. When does open enrollment end this year?
Open enrollment ends December 7th this year. Rapidly approaching, actually. We've got a month and a week left, give or take.
So you're able to help with obviously with Medicare options also?
Yep, absolutely. So whether you're enrolling in Medicare or you are looking maybe to switch a Part D plan, a supplemental plan, if you have a Medigap plan, we cover lots of different options and we're able to help review what you would be eligible for. It is region specific. So it is important that people call the SHINE program where they live, which should be no issue for folks in Quincy. But if you have a loved one or a relative who maybe lives out in Worcester County, they're going to want to call their area ASAP, but we can help them connect to that area agency.
Okay, great. Yeah, it's such a spider web of choices that people have. They need somebody that's been through it to guide them for sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Jody Hodgson. Jody, first I want to say thank you for arranging this discussion with your organization today. This has just been great. And I know that you previously were the volunteer coordinator. Now you're in charge of the money management program, and we're all worried about our money these days for sure.
Yeah. Yes. The money management program is another free program. Excuse me. I haven't even spoken yet, and I'm losing my voice. It's a free program, free service, and it's established for people to assist them with their basic money management, monthly finances, to help them stay independent, as all of our services are designed to do. And some of the warning signs that we may be looking for would be an elder who is having difficulty telling the difference between junk mail and real mail.
Mm. That's harder and harder to do these days.
It is. And their bills and their mail is piling up. Sometimes they're so frustrated about it, they don't even open their mail anymore and they get behind on their bills. Sometimes they have been in a situation where they've been financially exploited, or they have fallen prey to phone or mail scams and fraud, which is unfortunately more and more frequent and targeted to elders specifically. They're very vulnerable to it. So we do get those. Sometimes they forget if they've paid bills or if they've written a check. It could be something as basic as they can't write anymore. Mm. Maybe a vision impairment, or they have bad arthritis. So they actually need help with writing checks. They may have an difficulty keeping records. So they need some help with that as well. They may have gotten into a habit of, because they don't keep track of their spending, they overspend or they bounce checks. So all those different kinds of things that normally someone would be on top of on a monthly basis, those are the kinds of things that we look for where they need assistance.
Okay. Now, do folks who are having the problems reach out to you typically, or is it their family that reaches out to you for assistance?
It can be either. Okay. Either or. It's very typically family. A lot of times it will come through the case manager at our agency, who already is helping that client with home care services.
Yeah.
And the case manager will recognize, or the client will, you know, indicate that they also need help with their bills. Yeah. So I may get an in-house referral for that. Yep. They're already our clients. Okay. But it can come from outside. Often it'll come from like a social worker who's working with them through a different, you know, agency or health provider or something like that.
Yeah.
Family members. People that are eligible, they have to be 60 years or older. Okay. Or younger, disabled.
Okay.
As well, for the same as our other programs. And they do have to meet certain income and asset guidelines. We're basically geared towards low to middle income, moderate income individuals. And these are people that don't have informal supports, like a family member or a trusted friend that can do it for them. Sometimes we'll find folks had a partner or a spouse who always did the bills, and now they're alone and they don't know how to do it. So that gets them into difficulty. So we might have that situation going on. So we're, you know, our whole aim is to keep them independent in their home and out of financial risk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously you can't offer in-person services right now. So how are you doing with it during the pandemic?
Well, first of all, we are volunteer based.
Mm-hmm.
And so our volunteers are, we're also doing just about everything by phone.
Okay.
As well. As much as we can, we check in with the clients by phone and assist them with their bill paying by phone.
Okay.
Some of them you can just walk through it with them, and they that oversight is sufficient.
Okay.
For those that it's not sufficient for, we're doing something called bag drops. And the volunteer will go to the home, and the client will put their bills and their checkbooks out in a bag on the doorstep. And the volunteer will pick it up and do the bills in their car.
Oh, okay.
At this point.
Talk about mobile banking.
And you know, they'll typically talk to the client on the phone.
Yes.
And they'll go over the bills with them. And so we're trying to be creative, and it's working to the extent. Now we're a little concerned about when the cold weather comes and they have to sit in their car with the heat on, but we'll get through it. Our volunteers are very dedicated and flexible, adaptable, and we've made it work. And everybody is getting their needs met, though not always in the same way as we used to.
So obviously, especially for that program, you have to vet your volunteers very carefully, right?
Yes.
To make sure they're trustworthy and honest. And it goes for all the programs, I'm sure. Bridget, I'm sure you can speak more to that.
Yes.
Yeah, everyone has to be quarried. It doesn't, I'm sorry, Jody.
No,
everybody has to be quarried. To be a volunteer is, you know, we don't want anybody not going to somebody's house delivering meals or anything like that. And we haven't checked them out. Everyone has a background check.
Yep, absolutely.
How about you too, Jody?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And references, and they mm-hmm. undergo an extensive training and constantly supervised by myself. And so they're very well vetted. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I want to mention is the volunteer has no control over the client's finances. The elder has full control over their financial situation. They make all of their own decisions. The volunteer does not sign their checks. The volunteer does not have access to their bank accounts. And so there are a lot of safeguards built in for the consumer. And it's a limited role. We do not do financial planning. We do not do financial advice. So if somebody needs that, we will redirect them to other services.
Sure. Yeah, it's mostly managing day-to-day finances, right?
And it can make a huge difference.
Yeah.
It can make a huge, huge difference, as you can imagine.
Yeah, that's a stressful thing if you find yourself, you know, all torn up in knots about paying your bills. It's going to have an effect on your physical health as well.
Yeah.
So anything else that we should add, ladies? I'll go down the list again. And Donna, anything else that we should touch on with you?
I would like to kind of tie some things together.
Okay.
Something that Jody mentioned, we do have folks that call us that there's a change in their situation, financial, legal, and they will call us. We get calls, actually. Jody does refer to the intake department. I have 5 staff that are certified intake specialists. And not only do we do the referrals in-house to some of the programs, the caregiver support, home care options, and money management, but we also do provide general community resources, such as legal services, financial planning. What if you are, something's happening with regards to your housing?
Mm-hmm.
We get a lot of calls now with regards to housing.
Well, the eviction moratorium has expired, so that's
exactly. So the staff here is well-versed, well-educated, and is always on top of what's out there. And we will do research for you and call you back and make proper referrals for you if it's not something that we can handle inside.
Okay. It's a great resource. Just, it really is.
Yeah. So call us if you have questions.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, 781-848-3910 or online sselder.org, I know is the main website. Bridget, anything else that you'd like to add?
Yep, I'd like to add that if you're interested in delivering meals in Quincy,
mm-hmm.
Delivering meals starts at 10 o'clock. We'd love to have you come and help out the community in any way. If you even just want to volunteer and just make a phone call just to have, you know, just to check on an elder in your community, we'd love to have you. You can decide whatever time you'd like to call them. You and the consumer make it a time that will work for both of you just to check on each other. Some people are morning people, some people are afternoon people, and it just works out to see how that works for you. I say all the time, if you can give an hour once a week, twice a week, it's the best organization to be able to help, and knowing that you're helping somebody to get something to eat or just a phone call to say hello.
Yeah. And, you know, I know you know this as the volunteer coordinator, that volunteers usually get a whole lot more than they give.
They certainly do. They certainly do. They become friends. They really do become friends. And they get so used to the same person delivering. If they don't deliver and they're not there at 10:02, they're calling up and saying
they're checking on the volunteer, right? How about you, Alex? Anything else we should have you put in?
Yes, I just wanted to reiterate. We hear a lot from our programs from folks who say, I don't want to access these services because I'm afraid I'm taking away from someone else. Ooh. And I really just want to point out that by accessing our services, you're never taking away from someone else who has a need. Everyone has the ability to tap in to resources when they need them. And we really encourage people that you don't have to wait until it's overwhelming or that you just can't handle it anymore. Please call in before it gets to that point and always know that you're never taking services away. We're able to serve as many people as we possibly can. So please call in.
Okay, that's great advice. Sure, absolutely. Jody, would you like to have the last word?
Well, I just want to thank you very much for reaching out to us, Joe. You've always been so supportive of South Shore Elder Services over the years, and we've enjoyed, you know, participating in these, and especially at this time, we want to make sure that people know that we're still here, fully operational, mm-hmm. and we're here for them and the community, and I just appreciate it very much being able to participate in this. So thanks again.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's my pleasure. And thank you for organizing it. And please, let's not make this the last time. You know, if we can be of any help here at QATV to get information out to the community, we'll be happy to do that. Hopefully next time we can do it in person. So thank you all. I really appreciate it. We're going to switch over to our Brady Bunch view here and say goodbye. Thanks again, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you. Stay safe.